The University Tower chimes, ringing another session of Ask the Professor, the show in which you match wits with University of Detroit Mercy professors in an unrehearsed session of questions and answers. I'm your host, Matt Mayo, and let me introduce to you our panel for today. All the way in the upper left, which is where I always start, it's Professor Beth Oljar.
Oh, good to be here.
Yeah, that's great. We're very happy to have you here.
Upper left is Dave, so.
Oh, okay. And I got to say, Dave is usually the guy who's generating the start on the Zoom and everything. But this week, it's you.
Wow.
Because I know, and by the way, congratulations on you and Drew's wedding anniversary.
Thank you.
You and Drew are pretty big movie people. Just in the interest of curiosity, you know, in the curiosity of interest. Have you gone back to a big movie theater yet since the pandemic started? You have no interest? It doesn't matter to you? Like, where are you on that spectrum?
We haven't gone back yet. I mean, I don't know that Drew would want to do that. So I don't know. I mean, we may end up going to a movie with Dan and Tom at some point, but we haven't. I'm sure the last movie we saw was with you guys. I can't even remember what it was. But
wow.
It's kind of nice to be at home and be comfy. And
I have to say, so much is now available on, you know, from home.
Mm-hmm. Yes. The way that my family decided to solve this problem, Beth, was to wait for a movie we really wanted to see, which is the way we always are. I don't just go to the theater to see whatever. Like,
right.
It's an appointment, right? And it was the new Marvel movie, you know, Shang-Chi. And we usually go up to my mom and dad's place in the Port Huron area, and my wife's eyes get really big. She's like, these could be some training wheels. Because they have so many movie theaters in Port Huron. And of course we go, there's nobody else in the theater but our family. And I was like, I feel totally safe here. You know, it's like, it's just not a popular activity when you're right next to the, you know, the fresh water. What can I say?
I want to see the movie about Aretha Franklin though.
That looks good. So anyway, yeah, that was the first movie just this last weekend that I've seen in person in over 18 months. So, but it sort of felt like a glorified living room, if that makes any sense.
How cool to be the only people. That's kind of neat, though.
Actually,
it's like they're playing the movie just for you.
Right? I don't know if you remember, but there was one time, was it AMC, you could actually rent the entire theater during COVID for, what, like $99, and you and 20 of your friends could do it. But the selection was like going, really? I saw that like 5 years ago.
And the dulcet tones of Professor Dave Chow remembering movies from 5 years ago.
Pleasure to be here, as always. Actually, the thing that I've been itching to do is go down to the Ford, Wyoming.
Sure.
You know, while the weather's still decent.
Oh, yeah, today would be a great day for that.
I want to do drive-ins again. That's a long lost American
pastime. That's what Ford,
Wyoming is.
Yeah.
And Beth, right across the street at the gas station, some of the best hamburgers in town. Oh, it's so good. They're open till 11, so I've been itching to like, go down there, get a bag of burgers and fries, and just go watch a movie. It's been forever.
Excellent. So where are you on the movie-seeing spectrum, Dave?
I haven't seen a movie in forever.
Wow.
Other than, you know, like what comes across, you know, on cable and, you know, Disney Plus, and that's about it.
Right. Well, that's like Jim was saying, that's pretty much all you need these days.
Yep.
You know?
Yeah. I mean, I will admit, I do miss the movie experience, though. You know, the big screen, you know, the popcorn laced with the 10W30. I mean, you know, I do miss those days.
Who wouldn't?
Well, yeah, because you remember, I mean, I remember seeing Raiders of the Lost Ark. That's the movie I've seen in the theater the most times, but also seeing Ghostbusters with my brother when that came out in the theater, right? There's some movies you don't.
That Star just Wars. Don't translate to home, you know.
Yeah.
As not, big of a TV as you have, as great of a sound system, it's still not the same as a movie theater. That's all. Right.
Speaking of 10W30, I'm just thinking about greasy things. It's Professor Jim Tubbs.
Hello.
Who has been cleaning out a grease-addled property for most of the last few days, huh?
Yes. Yes, I think I've gotten most of the grease out, but the smell of the grease is still around.
So. Sounds like they were quite purveyors of the friolator arts, as Anthony Bourdain would call them.
Yes. Well, yeah, I'm learning all kinds of things. I don't know quite how this happens, but I spent a long time, you know, cleaning out with like disinfectant and stuff, the refrigerator and freezer. And it still smells like cigarette smoke every time you open the door.
Man. Oh, in the fridge?
In the fridge, yes. I think I'm going to go out and find the strongest citrus scented thing I can.
You better bring like the state of Florida.
Yeah. Get like four boxes of Arm & Hammer baking soda and
just put it in there. Yeah, well, I've got that in there now, but you know, I think like squeeze lemons on the walls or something.
Jim, like I said, open a window or a door and let gravity do its thing, you know?
Yeah, well.
When it comes to the appliances, just buy new.
I would recommend some high-powered zeolites, Jim, which are those rocks that are so porous, they just absorb all gaseous odors.
There might we go. Get that a try. There we go.
Yeah.
Cool.
But sometimes there's only so much you can do. I think I've even told this story before, but we knew that my mom's parents, who both were chain smokers their entire lives, we knew it was a problem when they had bought an extra box of Triscuits, you know, at the store and gave them to us because we were kids and we love crackers. And it's like, we're eating the Triscuits. I'm like, yeah, that doesn't taste like a Triscuit. And I think that my mom actually put her foot down, which is great, and actually got both of my grandparents to quit later in life. However, they both succumbed to the long-term effects, unfortunately. So
too bad
that happens.
Yes. Professor Dan Maggio is also here with us today, just patiently listening to all this banter and waiting to drop the world's greatest bon mot. And here
he's
it is
contemplating
bomb. I don't really have a bomb. I was curious from Jim, how long did those tenants live in your condo?
4 years.
4 years.
Oh, did they ever leave? I used to smoke. And part of what made me finally quit was the cleaning of the house and the realizing how disgusting that was. And I used to do it a couple times a year and realize that if my house is like that, my body can't be much better. So that was a great motivator.
I remember how shocked I was years ago. I needed some for a very wide window. I needed some of those loose weave drapes, you know, that still let a lot of light through. I found some at a friend's aunt's estate sale. The friend's aunt had died and she had been a heavy smoker and they were just right. But I brought them home, washed them, and the water, when the wash cycle finished, was orange when it came out. I washed them again, went through four washes and four rinses, and it was still orange every time from all the nicotine.
It's perpetual. It's like an everlasting gobstopper.
Yep.
It is not lost on me the irony of hearing the tower chimes in the middle of the show, considering I'm on campus today. We are not going to start another show in the middle of the show.
So are you in your office upstairs?
Yep.
Yeah.
See the picture of Kathy and Edwin? Just over my ear.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Those were the days. But you're doing well, Dan?
I am. Actually made it to one movie earlier this summer. The problem is there aren't any good movies to see. And I would go see that Marvel movie, although he was one of my favorite characters from Kim's Convenience, which is a show that they took off.
CBC.
CBC took it off earlier this year very abruptly, so I'm a little bitter. But I'll go see it eventually. But actually, because of Drew is helping us move through the sequence of, I don't know, 25 Marvel movies, I'm only on number 4. So it'll be a while before I get to this.
Yeah, I was going to say, wasn't the last movie you saw The Courier at my house last
week? I saw The Courier, That was pretty good.
Last weekend?
Well, I got to say, even though I hardly ever plug things right, that Shang-Chi was extremely entertaining, probably a little bit too long. But I've just confessed to my wife, I'm in love with Awkwafina, as in the comedian Awkwafina.
Oh, she's fantastic. Not the water, not the water. Role,
one of the most funny people. Just her voice, just saying any regular line makes me laugh out loud. And you will not be disappointed if you're looking for some really great jokes.
Actually, the one movie that I will admit I've been itching to see is the new Bond movie that's been delayed since what?
Yes.
2 years almost now?
Yeah, almost right. 2 years.
Yeah, it was a great trailer before Shang-Chi for that Bond movie. Yeah.
Is it Daniel still Daniel?
Yeah, one Daniel more. Craig.
I think it's Daniel Craig's last.
Should be his last one, yes.
That's right. Well, folks, this is a program. You can send us questions regarding anything. You can stump the panel. You win one of our prizes. You can send us the questions in a number of ways. Email us at atp@udmercy.edu. Find us on Facebook and Instagram or listen on your favorite smart speaker by asking it to play Ask the Professor at University of Detroit Mercy. Here we go. Dear profs, life in the Upper Peninsula isn't just about drinking cheap beer. Some of us like good beer, too. More importantly, you can find the occasional youper who loves a good martini. Yes, that would be my husband, Dennis, and I. Here's to you, profs. And here are 10 quick questions about this classic cocktail. Your friend from the UP where the state bird is the mosquito because they ate all the robins. It's Marilyn Bachorik, yes, from Munising, Michigan. Absolutely. Well, I don't know much about martinis, but it's a great segue to know there's that final Daniel Craig Bond coming out here.
He's a hottie.
I know that I'm like Mr. Look Forward all the time. I'm pretty anxious in a good way to see who's going to play Bond next. I love
wanted
Daniel
to be
Craig.
Idris Elba. I think yeah. Idris Elba would be mm-hmm. wonderful. Mm-hmm.
It'd be a big thumbs up from me on Idris Elba. But
and
we'll
he's
see.
A hottie, too.
Yeah. And the other one would have been, was it Tom Hardy? I thought would have been a decent
Tom
one.
Tom Hardy. Yeah.
No, so I like him as an actor until I watched just uh-oh. Recently. He played Al Capone.
Oh, that's
and
right.
And the movie
yeah.
In his last year or so. And it was a really dreadful movie. It was a difficult just subject and the tone, mm-hmm. but he was really bad.
Tom Hardy can be pretty much out there yeah. sometimes.
But I've seen him in other movies. He's a good yeah. actor.
Mm-hmm.
But
mm-hmm.
oh, maybe yeah. I need... Okay. I'll give him a chance again.
Here we go. In which Hemingway novel did he first mention a martini?
For Whom the Bell Tolls.
It's not what it says here.
Old Man and the Sea.
The Sun Also Rises.
It says Sun Also Rises. So we got there.
Was running
at the
out
end of
of
the novel, Jake and Lady Brett Ashley order martinis in a Madrid bar. So Sun Also Rises. When asked about his favorite martini recipe, who said, I would like to observe the vermouth from across the room while I drink my martini. What a great line.
Sounds like Churchill.
It is definitely Winston Churchill.
Okay. Oh. He just used to stand facing the direction of France, right? And that was as close as the vermouth or something got to, yeah.
Has there been a better quotable person in the history of the world? It's so wonderful.
You're listening to Ask the Professor from University of Detroit Mercy. We're grateful for those listeners who submitted questions for this week's episode, and we invite you to send us your questions at atp@udmercy.edu. The professors will return to answer more questions in 80 seconds. But first, let's enjoy these Ask the Professor memories from 1996. It's an Ask the Professor flashback.
That was good for the self-esteem.
Yeah, wasn't it?
Our next set of questions comes from Keith Hedrick of Orange,
California. Yes.
Yes, how about that? And he says, I have enclosed 10 quotes. You need to figure out who said it. Yeah, right.
Keep hoping.
We'll take it, love.
You were working on your taxes, weren't you?
You need 6 out of 10 correct in order to win.
Okay. 6? This guy has low standards.
He's serious.
That's good.
That's why he writes to us.
He's a realist.
Who said? I have taken more out of alcohol than alcohol has taken out of me.
Noel Coward.
No, it's British.
Oh.
But it's a statesman.
Churchill.
That's right.
Churchill was at a party one night, and this woman came up to him. You know that story?
That story. Yes, but tell
yeah.
it. Please say.
Tell
it.
Oh, and she was being obnoxious, and she said, "You know, Mr. Churchill, you're drunk." And he said, "Yes, madam, that's true, and you're ugly. But in the morning, I shall be sober, and you will still be ugly."
This wasn't Queen Elizabeth, was it?
he didn't know who it was.
Oh, my gosh. How about in movie making, what are they referring to when they use the jargon, the martini shot?
I'm assuming it's through a certain lens.
No, it's not a certain lens.
A close-up of a glass?
I mean, these are good guesses, but that's not what the martini
any of the Thin
is.
Man movies was like a constant martini shot.
So what is?
I'm busy spending all that money I married you for.
So what is it about a martini that they right. would capture a shot?
On a desktop? On a certain surface?
It's
olives?
Crisp?
No. I think that it hasn't lost your attention that martinis are a great way to have a cocktail hour.
It's a long pause. Social?
I mean, you're almost there.
Scene? Is it a bar scene?
Nope. You know what it is? It's the last shot that you take on any day of recording. So when that shot is complete, it's martini.
Then it's happy hour. Okay.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. The martini shot. So the martini shot could be lots of different camera angles. Just interesting. Who claimed that after four martinis, she'd be under her host?
Ooh.
Dorothy Parker, probably.
There's Dorothy Parker. Yes, the quote is, "I'd like to have a martini, two at the very most. After three, I'm under the table, but four, I'm under my host." Yes.
Yeah.
So funny. So funny.
It's so great. Oh my gosh. Robert Benchley is often credited with this line, "Why don't you get out of those wet clothes and into a dry martini?" In which movie did he actually say that to Ginger Rogers? I would be totally lost on this one.
I'm relying on Jim.
Right about now, I've got this tambourine in a heavy metal band look about me. So,
I can't even think of Ginger Rogers movies.
I'll give you a little bit of a hint. There is a military rank in the title, if that helps.
Major, general, lieutenant,
major, sergeant,
major, captain,
corporal punishment.
You know,
some help we are, Dan.
the name of the movie is basically 2021 style, downright creepy. It's The Major and the Minor.
Oh
Lord!
Yeah,
that does sound kind of creepy.
Max over that.
Yes.
Oh my word. Who said, when referring to his bartender, "He knows how I like my martini, full of alcohol"?
Mae West?
It's going to be a little more contemporary, but like last 35 years contemporary.
What, like a Norm from Cheers or somebody like that?
Like Nick Charles.
Cliff?
No.
It's not Nick Charles?
Mm-mm. No, he said it's more recent.
It was a little more recent.
What, like Hawkeye Pierce or something like that from MASH?
Recenter?
Or recenter.
Was it a female character?
You know, it is a male character who is animated.
Oh, Barney. Mm-mm. Homer.
But you're close. It's Homer Simpson. Yeah, oh, okay. You said Homer. It's Homer Simpson.
Okay, I knew.
I love the blandness of "He knows how I like my martini, full of alcohol."
I didn't know he drank anything other than Duff beer.
Yeah,
that's a good point, except for the hilarity of the line, basically.
The Flaming Moe. I mean, so he's been known to do a few others.
I remember.
That's right. And we'll never forget Marilyn's point about life in the UP not just being about drinking cheap beer. Sometimes we like good beer.
It's called warmth. So,
hey, what is the 50-50? What's the 50-50 referring to martinis?
Half vermouth and half
gin,
vodka, gin.
And with one extra addition, apparently, traditionally?
Olives?
It says instead of olives that it's orange bitters. Who called the martini America's lethal weapon? What a great piece of history this is.
Roosevelt.
No, I want you to think about this from the other side of the table, Beth.
So it's not an American.
Right.
Churchill again?
No, but that would make a lot of sense. somebody who would have been at odds with America during the rise of the
martini. Like Stalin or somebody like that? Lenin? Khrushchev?
It was Khrushchev. Russian. It was Khrushchev, yeah.
Oh, Khrushchev.
Yep. Khrushchev.
What did he like to drink? Straight vodka alone?
Probably.
So he will crush us, but not our martinis.
He'll crush the ice.
So we're, because it just happens, taking in whatever part of Hunt for Red October is on X number of weeks ago. And there's the part where the head of the, Russian Navy is coming to his office for the day. And the scene is setting up that he's going to get the letter from Ramius.
That's right.
But I love that movie. I love that book. The first time I read and saw them. And he goes in, remember, and like everybody is greeting him, and he always goes, Yeah. I do that all the time at home. Apparently, Leslie has never seen this movie. And she's like, is that why you do that?
It's a great movie.
It's a great movie.
It is a great movie. In fact, there's, I mean, one of the greatest sort of episodes of symbolism in film in that movie. Because there's a moment where the Russian submarine turns around very quickly to look at the American submarine. So they're just kind of this standoff, the two submarines. Mm-hmm. But while that's happening, Sean Connery is talking about the Cold War.
Right.
You know, this was a war with no battles, only casualties, right? And I widowed my wife the day that I met her. But while he's talking about this, the two submarines are literally facing off and trying to remain silent so that they're undetectable by the other sub. It was just, I thought it was really clever.
Absolutely. And since I know my parents listen, I have to put a shout out for my dad, who essentially, as a genre, as broad as it might seem, is obsessed with submarine movies of any type. And so he's, I think I've mentioned it before, it's killing him that he can't see the Tom Hanks one because it's only on
Apple TV. Right. That's right.
He goes, I might just get a subscription just so I can watch that movie.
I think you can get it for, 30 days or something like that, isn't
something
it?
Something like that, yeah.
He should watch,
apparently it was really good.
He should watch You 571.
Yep, that's a great one. I mean, he'll pop on Run Silent, Run Deep for fun. That's
that
all.
That was a good one. That was a good one.
Or Das Boot for that
matter. Yeah, that's a good one.
Classic.
Couple more here, professors. Worldwide, I think we already know this. What's the most popular martini garnish?
An olive.
Mostly olive. Prepared in what way, though?
Pickled.
Stuffed.
It is. It's stuffed with blue cheese in the traditional martini.
Oh,
blue cheese. Yeah. Ooh.
Yep. I don't know how I believe I can fairly say that I've never had a martini in my entire life, but that actually does up the ante there with the blue cheese stuffed olive. Last but not least, thank you so much for sending in the questions, Marilyn and Dennis. As per the only two people who drink martinis in the Upper Peninsula, why is James Bond shaken, not stirred, a modern cocktail faux pas?
Because he's chipping the ice.
Yeah. You're diluting it, isn't it?
I've heard it bruises the vermouth when you shake it.
All these are good, and you're sort of driving at what's written here. It's about melting the ice and diluting at the same time that one of the main points of having a martini, like, I'm sorry, as a non-martini drinker but organic chemist, I have to point this out. You want that completely translucent drink served to you in that container. That's part of the mystique.
Yep.
And when you shake it, it becomes cloudy. And now it just looks like you're drinking dishwater.
Oh, Elmer's glue. Oh, you know,
Martin Sheen there's an episode of The West Wing where Martin Sheen goes through this whole long, actually, monologue with his assistant about why James Bond is a wuss, because he's basically ordering a watered down martini.
There you go.
I'm like, yeah, well.
Okay, it's time for our favorite part of the show, the Frank Burrows and family Ask the Professor Imponderables list. We've never done this one before. Not like we've done any of the ones that I've ever brought up, but I'm kind of anxious to hear what folks' favorite game of cards to play is. What's your favorite card game?
Oh.
I can get us going while you think, because I mean, seriously, we all at least live in Michigan.
Yeah, but it's euchre. It's good. Which I've never played.
I'm a 4-year euchre man at CCS, so that's where I learned.
Euchre is the way to go for most of us here. Although
when I was a child, we played a childhood bridge game called Rook that I still enjoy a lot. I think that's fun.
Probably Pinochle, hearts
too. I like hearts. Pinochle. Used to my mom and aunt taught me pinochle.
Poker.
I played bridge, but I never really got the ins and outs of bridge, huh?
Bridge is a dying art. I remember my parents used to play that a lot. That was the thing to do in the 70s.
Yeah.
My parents and their friends would get together and play bridge.
Yeah. What's that other one I've been playing? The one with the little board where you pegs
bridge.
And No, cribbage. That's the other one I was going to think of. Yeah,
cribbage.
Cribbage was another one.
At the Berkeley, Michigan Historical Society X number of months ago, and they were just unarchiving a lot of the Berkeley area newspapers, one sheets really from honestly the teens, the 20s, the 30s. Wow. Berkeley was founded almost 100 years ago, so they're preparing for the centennial. And I was just cracking up. And of course, my wife's a historian. The society part was always like, Mr. and Mrs. Oljar have had a bridge party for the last three Thursdays. And if you're interested, stop by and mention.
Wow.
Things are very.
No, I'm sure different. It was invitation only.
Oh, yeah.
When we got our new, I had to have a new air conditioning. A new air conditioner put in and a new furnace from Beyer Heating and Cooling. And they called me Mrs. Warner, which was weird.
Who?
Yeah, I'm sorry to, my eyes darted to the screen there, Beth, but I just thought it was hilarious that they were just advertising sort of a personal party. And then, of course, I walk away with the great modern burden of shame. I'm like, why is that any different from someone taking a picture of a burger and putting it on Instagram? It's
that
much
would not have been at all unusual in the South, where right. there are reports on various part. Am I wrong about this, Jim? I mean, in the part of Louisiana my grandmother was from, there were frequently reports about.
Oh yeah, the society column. When I was growing up, the society column would have all the details about the cotillions and all kinds of parties people were having.
The cotillions. That's incredible.
Cotillion.
Yeah, I mean, we are a very, very hardcore card-playing family in the Mayo family, mostly because of this euchre derivative that my dad claims that caught on like wildfire when he was playing at lunch at Ford Motor Company at the beginning of his job. And he taught it to my brother, who has now taught all of his in-laws, and they go all in with cash like all the time. And I'm just like, you guys are too rich for my blood. And my brother collects playing cards, which is kind of a cool hobby, and we actually play with some of them instead of not ever unwrapping them.
Hey, so. Matt, now, I don't know if your brother listens to the show or not, but have you ever thought about doing custom playing cards for him?
I have, and I need to push that further, because the truth is, we never worry about birthday or Christmas presents for my brother, whose birthday was just the other day.
Oh.
Because inevitably, you're shopping, you see a cool deck of cards, you buy it, you shove it in a drawer. You dust it off when it's his birthday. That's pretty much the way we treat him. And I am not exaggerating. I think he has 5 or 6 regular size Rubbermaids with completely full of decks of cards. It's pretty, pretty interesting stuff. Unfortunately, the time has come for us to say goodbye for today. Dan.
Have a great weekend.
Jim.
Goodbye.
Dave.
See ya.
And Beth.
Bye.
Now these words,
you can email Ask the Professor at atp@udmercy.edu or visit the Ask the Professor Facebook page.
Ask the Professor is transcribed in the facilities of the... No, it's not. It's transcribed across all of our homes and places of business, but we're usually housed in the Department of Communication Studies in the College of Liberal Arts and Education at University of Detroit Mercy's McNichols campus. Ask the Professor is produced and directed by Michael Jason and Brian Masonville, and our executive producer is Professor Jason Roach. Until next week, I'm your host, Matt Miles.